Hey, John here. Okay, today I want to delve into something, I guess, a little bit different than the norm, and it's going to touch into the whole self-improvement realm, which is not really where I go often, but it does come up once in a while. I'm not a big self-improvement fan. I don't really, I'm not a consumer of the niche. I'm not in the niche. Same goes for health. And the reason is for me, most of it's generally pretty common sense. I don't really need to read a whole lot of what other people are talking about. If I'm going to spend time reading and learning nonfiction, I tend to prefer a little bit more concrete. And that tend to be what I also put out as information in the niche. Anyways, speaking of health niches, I think it was Frank Kern once said the entire weight loss niche can be summed up with put the fork down and move around a little. And simplistic, a little crass, but definitely has a ring of truth to it. And I guess I say that because that's more or less my health regime, and not that I'm going to get into what my health regime is, but essentially it's about as simple as that. So, quoting Frank Kern does date me in this business. He was a huge influence in the whole internet marketing industry 10 years ago. Now, I don't know what he's doing. I'm sure he's doing something. He was an engaging, likable guy to watch and learn from, and a really great copywriter. And a lot of people learned a lot from him, including me. So, anyways, he used to put out this annual popular video that he called the State of the Internet Address. You can Google it. You could see some old videos dating back from 2012, and they're interesting. They're kind of fun to watch, especially now as a historical context. Anyways. Back into self-improvement making an appearance once again. Now, despite my apathy towards self-improvement, I once in a while delve into it here, and I'm going to do so again. So it was about an hour and a half ago. I was kind of sitting around thinking about, well, what do I feel like doing next? I don't have a whole lot on my plate today, which is unusual. I guess hence another podcast. And actually, I'm going to talk about podcasting in a bit, as it links or relates to all this. Now, I was thinking about what do I feel like doing next? And then that thought was followed by, well, what do I really like doing in this online business? Above all else, when I have nothing pressing, nothing urgent to deal with that has to get done to move things forward or respond to people or whatever, what is it that I want to do? And it hit me. And it's not the first time this has occurred to me. And that is, there's a big difference between liking the outcome and liking the actual doing. And it's totally me. And I confuse the two all the time. And, I make decisions based not because I actually like doing the task, but because I want the outcome. And I think a lot of times, at least for me, that's the wrong way to base a decision. I should focus more on doing what I like doing instead of doing because I think I like the outcome. Okay, so a common area where people, I think, make a huge decision-making mistake in this nature is choosing a career or job, right? They choose something based on the outcome rather than what the job is actually going to be day to day, even hour to hour, right? And take law as an example, right? Being a lawyer, well, it's often is portrayed to look really glamorous and fun and exciting on TV and in the movies for sure, right? So it looks good on paper, decent income. Some have fabulous income, get to wear fancy clothes, at least some do. A certain level of prestige as a career and a job. If you do litigation, the trials can be exhilarating and exciting, and it's a big competition, and you're pursuing justice and you're helping people. And there's all these benefits. I would call them collateral benefits of pursuing a career in law. And there are people who love law, and it can be a great job. I'm not knocking law. I'm just saying, in terms of some people choosing it, it might be the wrong career because they're basing a decision on the outcome, on all these collateral benefits, rather than what is the reality of being a lawyer. Okay, so I could tell you, because once upon a time I did practice law, and the reality is it can be stressful. It can be long hours. Yeah, you can have unhappy clients, which is never pleasant to deal with. It's hard to deal with, especially if they get a bill or when they get the bill, not if, when. Tidal waves of paperwork. Now, it's the tidal waves of paperwork that I got to talk about here, because a lot of law is dealing with a lot of paperwork, and you've got to be organized, and you can't be sloppy. You've got to be really, really detailed and careful and read everything. and you got to deal with it. And then you got to write about it or write on it or do research and all of that. So if paperwork, reading and writing is not your thing, law is not the best career for most people in that regard. Okay. Yet, you know, when we think about being a lawyer, that stuff doesn't really come to mind yet. That's the reality of the day to day. Okay. So as I was sitting there thinking about an hour and a half ago, what it is I really want to do, you know, it's no surprise to me that what I actually felt like doing was writing an email. So that's what I did. So the precursor to this podcast is the email that went out to the FatStax readership. And I enjoy writing those emails. Now, in terms of the podcasting, because this is the second podcast in a week, I think, and that's after a long hiatus, all right? So I don't know how long this string is going to go here. I'm on a good kick here. I don't know how long that's going to go for. But I'm enjoying doing the podcast. I'm enjoying doing this one, and I'm actually enjoying it because I'm trying to do a better job with it and make them really good and put in a similar effort that I do in the emails, or at least most emails. And so it's fun for me. And now how long that's going to take, I don't know. You know, sometimes I just get too busy where I just don't have time for the podcast. And it's not to say I put a lot of time into it, because I don't edit, as you can tell. I simply, basically, I don't read the emails. I kind of use it as an outline and create the podcast. So I guess another reason I am doing the podcast, a lot of people have asked. I didn't really realize that people liked them. Not that it's a huge podcast or all that popular, but there are people who like them. So yeah, so it's the least I could do if I do write an email that lends itself to a podcast. Some emails I write just aren't going to make a good podcast, so I wouldn't bother. It has to be the right. So this is one that fits the bill, I think. You tell me. So anyways, running my online publishing business, which is not a big business, I would qualify it as a small business, and it does fine and earns me a living, which was my goal when I set out. Okay. So of all the tasks that I do running this business, my favorite is the writing part of it. Okay. Now writing is what got the ball rolling. I wrote everything for years in the beginning. I did not have a budget to hire people. I was able to write and write and write because I liked it. And it's a good thing I liked it, but I'd be lying if I told you the outcome was not on my mind. Obviously, that'd be delusional if I told you, well, I just one day started writing with no thought to earning a living with it, and presto, magically ended up earning a living from it, and it's great. That's not how it was. I did like to write, but I was writing for a purpose in order to create a website that would earn enough that I could do it full time and earn a living, and ironically stop practicing law. Not that I hated law, but let's just say I like this more. So I was gunning for it. So it was both. I was right from day one, I was pursuing a business in online publishing, but I was also pursuing a craft as the lone writer. And that's worked out really well for me. Now, as my business grew, I went the route of many publishers, and of course I wanted to grow more and faster, bigger, bigger, bigger. And so I hired writers. Now, I don't regret that I did that. I think it was the right decision. I still believe that probably the avenue to a higher income and a bigger business in this business in online publishing is to hire people rather than try to do it all yourself. Okay. There's no debate about that. That's pretty clear to me. But that doesn't necessarily mean that going the building a business route and hiring people is the right route for everyone. And that's the point I'm trying to make in a roundabout, convoluted way here. And that is, it's okay to stay as a lone writer. And there are some lone writers who do a very, very good business, and it's all them. And there's a certain It's almost like it's a kind of like a handcrafted business versus a mass manufacturing, and both can be very good businesses, but there's a certain enjoyment, I believe, that people who are pursuing like a handcrafted, really putting all their effort into it and enjoying the process rather than working on building a business for the outcome of building a business. Right? There's a big difference. Now, like, to make things even more confusing, okay, we could say, well, there are some people who actually love the task of building and running a business. And that's totally true. And in fact, I would qualify myself as that. I do like the writing, but I also like the process of building a business. There are other things I do enjoy with what I'm doing. I enjoy trying to get some traction on Facebook with my content. I think that's a really fascinating aspect of this business. And it's not surprising, that's one of the ways I started getting quite a bit of traffic early on with my largest site, was working on Facebook. Now, Facebook's fickle, and there have been periods where it didn't work no matter what you do. So I would stop, because what's the point? Even though I like it, if it's not working, it's not working. So there are other aspects of this as a business that I enjoy. And so that's great. And even as running it as a business, yeah, it's pretty good. It's sort of come to that, and that's what I'm dealing with. It is a business, but you know, I know people who have many more layers and organizational, and it's much bigger, and the revenue is much higher, and it's growing faster, and all of that, because they're better at actually running and growing a business than I am. I'm not terribly good. I'm fairly disorganized. I really tend to, I don't say I have trouble delegating. I don't think I'm a micromanager. But I don't really put in the effort to build up layers and hierarchy and training properly and put together SOPs, standard operating procedures, and all of that, that a real business would, I should say a larger business would do in order to grow. So I kind of fall in the middle here, and it works just fine for me. So next, I want to talk about to the people who are those who are the lone writers, who are writing their sites, or maybe you're deciding to change and move in that direction. Because I put out a series of emails, I think before Christmas, and talking about, you know, I think the future in this business involves working toward branding your site to some extent. And that's a really broad, almost meaningless statement, but we don't really know where search is going to go. Search has been really fickle and up and down over the last year now, with big, big updates, big swings. I've felt them. I've had some big downs, and then I had some ups and downs and ups, and it gets annoying. And it's almost to the point where, like, Google search is like a social media page where you get a hit and then a bunch of duds and then a hit. And so I still think search is going to have a strong, viable future, but there is AI chatbots coming to the search pages now that people are going to use, and it's sort of basically like Google snippets on steroids. How people are going to take to that, I don't know, actually. I think we could speculate all day long. I've thought about it. I don't know. I've used it. I've used the tools. I think it's going to be a mix. I don't think it's the end of search. I don't think that it's going to kill all traffic to websites, but I think it's going to have an impact. I think I'd be naive to say, oh no, traffic's just going to, you know, from search engine, don't worry about it, keep going. I think you do need to think about it. I think we need to publish content that moves into a direction that these chatbots can't just really answer simple Q&A, and they're going to get more sophisticated and do a better job. So you need to think about, okay, well, let's assume a fairly tough scenario where chatbots are going to be really good and people are going to rely on them. What can I publish as a publisher that's not going to be able to be handled by the chatbots, that's going to entice people to want to dig further, go below the chatbot, go into the search listings and visit websites? Okay. So that's what all sort of was a precursor to me thinking about this, moving back toward writing and so almost handcrafted content, basically kind of where I started, full circle. And that's not to say I'm going to stop hiring writers. I'm not. In fact, I have some really, really amazing writers right now who do a wonderful job, and their content is as good or better than mine. So I happily keep them on. They do a really, really nice job. But I do think that, you know, I need to think about moving in toward these sort of more of a bespoke, handcrafted type content. And for me, when I'm going to go in that direction, the important thing is that I actually like the niche. I like the topics that I'm going to write about. I've jumped into enough niches where it was really, I wanted to like the niche. Not even necessarily because it was lucrative. I just thought I'd want to like the niche. I think I could do a good job. And so I would start a pursuit or buy a bunch of stuff to write about because I wanted to go into that niche. And yet it turned out I didn't really want to go into it, and I didn't really care for it. And at the crux of it was I didn't like the writing about whatever it was I was writing about. I just didn't. And I can't really control that. I can't force myself to like something. And I'm at the point where I really want to focus on doing more and more of what I like doing, even if it's going to cost me a little bit of money. Now, I'm not going to be a purist in this regard and be like, oh, I don't need any money and I'm going to just do whatever I want. No, that's totally unrealistic. But if it's one or the other, I'm going to give up just a little bit of money, but be able to focus on what I really want to do, whether it's choosing a slightly different niche or different types of articles that may not be as lucrative as other articles, but I like writing those articles, then so be it. I'm going to pursue that. And I think that's important in this changing environment with chat AI bots on search, answering people's questions and trying to stand out within the whole realm of all this content out there. And because here's the thing, when I really like what I'm writing about, when I like the niche and I like the topic, I'm going to do a really good job. Okay. So the question is, how can you tell you like a topic, right? So I can't speak for you, but I'm going to speak for me. I know I like writing on a topic when I don't rush it. Okay. In today's environment, I can tell you right now, if I don't like a topic, I'm going to go to AI GPT or whatever it's called. It's such a strange name to me. I always think, why would they name it like that? Because I don't know. I get it mixed up all the time. I ultimately find it. But anyways, I digress. So if I don't care for a topic, my default is I'm going to go there and I'm going to try to write as much of it as I can. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I think it spits out pretty good content and so forth. But if I really like a topic and an article, I want to really do a good job, I'm not actually even interested in relying on AI to produce the article. I want to write it. I actually want to write it. I want to write it myself. Okay. So like this podcast, which is turning into a meandering bit of a podcast, hopefully there's some points being made here. It was based on an email that I wrote, and that email did not start with any input into a AI chat. It was just me writing. I spent about an hour on it. I edited it and changed some things, and it turned out, I think, okay. Not my best email, not my worst. And same with this podcast. And so I wanted to write every word of it. I didn't want to write. So there you go. How can you tell like a topic? If you don't want a writer or AI to produce the topic, but you actually want to write the topic, I don't think you can get much better of a test than that. And so that's important for me going forward. Now, you're probably thinking, well, John, that's all well and good. Let's say you're doing a particular niche site, let's say a particular breed of dog. Well, there's this thing that everybody's talking about. It's called topical authority. Yes, I've read about it. In a way, I guess I've been kind of talking about it and doing it for years. I kind of stumbled on it when I found out that when I wrote on a lot of topics, a lot of articles within a tight topic, they tended to all help each other. So that concept's been around for a long time. And it works, and it still works. And I don't foresee a day where it's not going to work. So it's a really smart pursuit. So if you're going to pursue topical authority on a website, chances are you're not going to like to write every article within that whole cluster. And that's probably true. And so this is where pursuing a hybrid model perhaps is a good option. I pursue hybrid right now. I actually hire writers. I use a little bit of AI. I've used it. I've come up with ideas and even paragraphs and so forth. It's helped me out. It's pretty cool. And I write a lot of it myself. And so I'm using all of these methods for my publishing business. And so, yeah, I would say it's more important to pursue topical authority and then rely on hiring a writer or maybe some AI in there with some editing and pursue the topical authority, then just focus solely on what you like writing about. But when you're building out your clusters or doing your keyword research, choose those topics that you really want to knock out of the park and do those yourself. And those could be articles that could be really stellar. And those could be ones you could promote. Those could be ones that could serve multiple purposes and get leveraged into, you know, other platforms, maybe a video or whatever. Right. And so do that. And I do that with some content. I know it's good. I know it's really good. And whether I wrote it or somebody else, And I tend to do more with that content. And there's no surprise that it tends to get more traffic. So not every article can be the best article, right? That's just the way it is. So some articles are going to serve alternative purposes, and that's perfectly fine. So at the end of the day, should you pursue this as a business or a lifestyle or both? And for me, it's both. I really like to try to focus and do as much as that. I really want to do tasks I like doing, but the reality is it also a business. So, but there, you know, there is a debate that goes, especially for people who are looking into choosing a niche at a certain point. And that is, well, should you go for the money or should you go for the interest or the passion that people would call it? I've called it that, so I shouldn't joke. It's an impossible question to answer. It really depends what you like doing. For me, I can tell you what I like. I will almost always pursue a niche that I think I will like. I have chosen niches it turned out I don't like, or I don't do a very good job with, which sometimes surprises me. And yeah, I know it sounds really weird that there are some niches that I just don't do a good job with and some that I do a good job with. And why would that be a difference? For some reason it is. There are just some types of topics and types of articles and types of keyword research that I just don't do nearly as well in some niches than others. And I don't know that until I'm in them. So, you know, more and more, I really want to try to focus on doing what I like doing. And if I'm going to write what I like writing and to keep writing and to then leverage those articles that I write that are really good, or writers that I've hired that are really, really good as well, and leverage those into trying to help the brand. But then likewise, it is a business and there is a thing called topical authority, and you're going to have to publish additional content to fill the gaps. Now, you can be a purist and you could be like, there's no way I'm going to compromise the content on my site just for topical authority. And there's a pretty good argument for that, in that you would, if it's not going to be stellar, you're not going to publish it. And that's actually probably not a terrible idea. It's an interesting case study. I haven't really tested it. I tend to pursue the topical authority model I have over the years because it's worked for me. But it would be interesting in terms of focusing, like you would not go for topical authority and instead just focus on topics that you just do a killer, absolute awesome job on and leave the rest of it within a cluster and not worry about it. So it would be an interesting case study. I don't really know how that would be set up. I think that could serve you well as well. I think you'd really need to promote that content on as many platforms as you could in order to try to grow it as a business, but you can't really be faulted for taking that stance as well. Anyways, at the end of the day, this business is a long, hard slog. And in some ways it gets easier every year, and every year it gets harder. And the irony of the AI content, this is the greatest irony of it, of all, okay, is that we can crank out an absolute ton of content. It's like the SEO dream, right? Like, think about it. Years ago, we could only imagine such a tool. But the irony is it's also going to hurt traffic, right? People are going to rely on it on search engine pages, and it's going to prevent traffic filtering through. So do we just have to publish more and more content to make up for that? I don't really know what the answer to that, all that is going to be. I also don't think that it's the end of search engines. I think people are going to still visit websites and so forth, at least for the foreseeable future. But so it is a great irony. We've got this dream tool at our disposal. Even if you like to write everything yourself, if it's a topic I love, if I really love a topic and I'm excited to write about it, I'm not going to use any AI. I'm just going to write it. I want to do it. It's my article, and that's the purest approach. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. If I'm lukewarm about it, I will incorporate in there, help me out, get me going, but I'll probably end up rewriting almost all of it. But I do get some good ideas, especially, you know, various sections I need to cover within it. And then if it's something I just don't care about, it's not that I copy and paste it, but you know, some stuff just needs to be done. And like, I have content, here's where AI has actually been pretty handy for me. I have content that is never going to get search traffic, and I won't get into why it won't, but it won't. And But it gets a lot of traffic from Pinterest and Facebook. And so writing this stuff, if I were to write it, is just, it's dumb. I don't know why I put in any writing in there, because it's not really necessary, but there is some writing in there. And I will do it with AI, and it does a perfectly good job. It's really, really simple writing. It's more visual content, and it performs really, really well on Facebook and Pinterest. So I'll keep doing it. Okay, so I'm getting a little bit off track. I think the point here is really figuring out what it is you really, really want to do, whether it's choosing a niche that you really actually enjoy doing and not choosing it because you think it's a good niche for other purposes, but then within your niche and within the business, choosing what it is you want to do. And it's not, you know, one way or the other. I mean, listening to me throughout this podcast, and it's interesting because I didn't include this in the email, and it's almost sort of coming to me even more extensively. And that is, I don't really have one way I do everything, right? I'm not sitting here cranking out just thousands of AI articles and just going to try to create a site like that. That's not what I'm doing. I could do it, and some people are doing it, and it's working. I don't know how long it's going to work, but that's not really what I want to do. At the same time, I'm not the purest writer where I write pay no attention to search and just write and try to build it falling. I would love that model, but that's just not something I'm doing. So I fall somewhere in between, and I almost always fall somewhere in between, and that's okay. And you need to figure out what it is that is going to work for you with both a mindset to what you actually like doing. Because if you actually like doing it, you're going to see it through. There'll be a much more likelihood that you'll see it through. But you also need to pay attention to the business side of it. So if you're going to pursue the hybrid content where you're going to pursue both topical authority that requires hiring some writers, but you get to cherry pick the best, that's actually a perfectly viable pursuit. I'm not suggesting you publish garbage to fill in the topical authority. That's not going to work so well for you, but you don't have to do it all yourself. That's always been my mindset about things. I've almost always written to some extent for my sites, and I've outsourced extensively. I think going forward, I'm definitely of late been more hands-on in terms of the niche site and what's getting published and how I'm going about things. And part of that is because I'm pursuing more Pinterest and Facebook again, which is actually working really great, but it does take care. You got to set up systems, and even then it needs oversight. Anyways, try to do what you like doing, at least to some degree. Obviously, we're not living in, you know, la-la land, and everything we get to do is what we like. But I can just tell you from experience, like when I look back over building a fairly large site over a number of years, that's done very well for me. It's had its ups and downs. Building sites that have failed or that languish or that just sort of trickle along, and then building up FatStacks as a brand as well. I can tell you that by doing the things that I like doing and tending to do a really good job, that's been the thing that's moved the needle. I can tell you, like, FatStacks is a good example. Like, years ago, like, the email was not really a thing with FatStacks a whole lot in terms of, like, the week to week. I would use it to promote various, let's say, affiliate promotions or courses and that sort of thing. But that was kind of it. It was never the main channel of communication. It was a pursuit of, it was the blog for the most part. And eventually it became the email, and the email has become absolutely central to it. And it didn't happen overnight. It took a long, long time. But the only reason it worked is because I really enjoy doing it. And I just kind of plugged away at it, and the word has spread, and people join and stay on it. And it's been great. I'm grateful for that. But I do enjoy it, and it shows. And it's the same with my other sites. In fact, my largest site, I grew to be fairly, fairly broad, and that worked for a lot of years, and it still works to an extent. But I've actually kind of come full circle with that site, and I'm very hands-on with it right now. In fact, I launched a local business that's within the same niche, and I'm bringing it full circle in that I've now tightened up what I'm focusing on that site in the very areas that it started with the first 2 years that sort of made it grow, right? I had growth fairly early on. The site was started working pretty quickly. it was a good fit for me. Just sort of everything just kind of worked out. And then I decided, you know, as people who want more and more and more do, it's like, well, I'll expand there. I'll expand there. It's like, you know, why not? Right. I can, it's easy. And so I did. And was it a mistake? Definitely some of the shoulder niches I jumped into were a mistake. In fact, I de-indexed a whole category. Didn't remove it. It was probably the next step, removing it. But for now, I de-indexed it because it just went too far. It was a mistake. But I'm even going tighter and tighter, tighter now. I really reined it in, and I'm focusing. And I'm enjoying it more. I'm enjoying working on the site more. I still work with writers on it, but it's almost like I'm paying attention to everything that's going out, and I'm making, you know, daily decisions, and I'm enjoying the work because I brought it back to the site it was when I started it, and it shows, and my traffic is growing, and it's working, and it's doing well. Now, ad revenue is deplorable right now, which is frustrating, but it's not just for me, it's for everybody. I'm sure the ad networks don't like it either. So, you know, I can't really base it on the revenue, which is down, but it ad revenue will go back up. So the more that I really try to hone in on what I like doing about something and within a niche and choosing niches, it just, things have seemed to work out better. And when I jump into something just because I want the outcome, or I think it's good, but I don't really know, or I want myself to like it, but I actually realistically, if I'm honest to myself, I don't like it, it just doesn't really work out that great. So that's been my experience. Thanks for listening.